True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM, ESPN. Happy Monday, September 15th. I hope it's a happier Monday for you than it is for me and my Chicago Bears. My goodness, goodness, goodness. John said it, and he's probably right. It was a good line. I'm going to steal it. What Detroit did to us probably should be illegal. My goodness, Ben Johnson's return to Detroit was awful. It was awful. So I got nothing there. I got already turned to fantasy. That's how bad it is for me in reality with the NFL. Were some impressive statements made, though. Philadelphia Eagles. And yet, I see, as I wake up this morning, look at the favorite in the NFC to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. It's not the Philadelphia Eagles. Even after a win at Arrowhead, where they did what they had to do, ended up winning 22-17. Ryan Silverfield, Memphis Tigers are 3-0. We said they needed to be this preseason. Said they needed to do it. And they have. Got the win over Troy on the road, 28-7. We'll talk about what's next because it's going to be big, and it's going to be on ABC. Very excited about that. Would have been a little bit more excited had Arkansas taken care of business. That, tell you what, that offense was good, but came up short in a loss to Ole Miss. Sorry, Joe Burrow fans. Anybody that's got him in fantasy, that's a sad story. I'm jumping back to college because I thought Tennessee made a statement even in the loss. I actually felt for the ball as John raises a finger to the sky for them.
Man, for real.
As if their season's over.
What a performance, man. No question about that.
That kicker had his chance.
He did.
That's what I feel bad about.
Yeah.
For him.
A Memphis native.
Balls come up short. Kirby wins again. Just a ton of sports to talk about here, John. So, taking and your team, I got to look at you on 1-0 street with a chance to go to 2-0 street.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say good luck, and it hurts a little bit.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. You're on 0-2 straight, and, you know, the property values are sinking, no question about that. I do think you guys will get it right in week three against the Cowboys. But again, that's just going to only be 1-2 street.
They got to win. They know what victory tastes like.
That's
about that game?
You're joining, like, the likes of the Saints and the Panthers and, you know, those kinds of teams, man. So I think you're better than those teams. I think you've
– It doesn't help me now.
I will say, I mean, you played the Vikings and you played the Lions at their place. I mean, that's a tough start to the season, man.
Vikings were at our place, and they're terrible.
Yeah.
So
now that's true.
So that takes me back down.
No, it does.
Because you watched what happened with them against Atlanta, and JJ does not look good.
Well,
so we let them off the hook. That means we are really sorry.
I think, you know,
that's what that equals out to.
You might be, but I don't think all hope is lost just yet.
Okay, well, that's going to be the last of the Bears talk for a little while.
Yeah.
We don't do it when they're irrelevant.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, yeah, a lot to get to on the show today. Like you talked about, sets up that this Saturday meeting, not quite of unbeatens, because Arkansas could not get it done on the road at Ole Miss.
Jalen Green tried.
Great game, man. Great game. You want to talk about a statement? I mean, here comes Arkansas, fresh off a 35-point performance against an SEC defense.
How you feeling about our defense? I'm going to ask you about that.
That's when
I say
Tigers?
There's a lot, man. There's a lot of thoughts. So we'll get to that today on the show. Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. So you're going to get a lot of Jason and John today. No guests. We're raw dogging it. We are absolutely raw dogging it. Not my favorite thing to do, but sometimes, you know, there's enough to get through. So I guess we can sort of start with Memphis. They won. They handled Troy. And, you know, we can nitpick and we can say, you know, what the offense should have done in the second half, what the offense could have done in the second half. They absolutely suffocated that Troy offense. Now, backup quarterback was in for the entirety of the game. They caught a break. They caught a very big break at the beginning of that game. I'm not sure how different it would have been with Crowder. I don't know. Anybody would have been better than the dude they had taking snaps as the backup. Mm-hmm. He is horrible. Yeah, Kill crease. I don't know if a single – until that very last garbage time drive, I don't know if a single pass hit a receiver. Like, I don't know if downfield. I don't think he had any of those. But to Memphis' credit, I mean, it was just an absolutely dominating, you know, defensive effort, right? I mean, you hold him to 112 yards.
Yep. Sutton and Smith had more yards on the ground than they had as a total offense. Good to see.
I believe Memphis ran more offensive plays than Troy had passing yards, right? I mean, just to kind of paint the picture of how dominant that was. Memphis, I mean, it was honestly, defensively, it was one of the best performances from Memphis I've seen against the Division
I. They were over 300 yards at the half.
Yes, Memphis was rolling.
And led off in the third quarter. You know, really thought there was a chance there to make it look good on both sides.
No doubt.
If you're picking at it, that offense stalled out there second half, just especially that third quarter. But listen, like we said, I said going into that game, didn't care about the spread, didn't care about Memphis covering or what it looked like. Just get to 3-0 so you've got the opportunity, again, to really get some eyes on you as a winless Group of Five team, got a chance to win the American, and has got Arkansas coming in here next week.
Absolutely.
And that's what you've done.
Yeah, 28-7 final for Memphis. You know, again, Brennan Lewis, 17-27, 213 yards, a touchdown. Sutton Smith had that big touchdown at the end of the first half, 50-yard scamper. And it was just kind of, this is the way Memphis has been winning, right? They've been leaning on the run game. Lewis sort of doing what he has to do when he has to do it. And you know, Memphis has been very comfortable. But now you go, you know, into Saturday, which is, you know, it's about to get real now. You know, the warm-ups are over. And you know, look, I think I would bottom line it by saying I don't think Memphis. Memphis is appropriately a 7.5 point underdog, right? Like it opened 5.5, it's gotten pushed all the way out to 7.5. I don't think it'll get much higher than that. I don't think it'll go to 8 or 8.5. I could see it kind of settling around 7, 7.5. But you know, I do have questions about Memphis' ability to win this game. You know, listen, they've been great as home dogs in the past against SEC teams. We've seen them do it before. Arkansas is certainly not a top-class SEC team. But that offensive performance in the second half was a little worrying to me. You know, only scoring 7. I know you let off. But I don't know. I just don't think you're coming in here with, like, just the greatest feelings, you know, about that side of the ball.
I would feel better if Greg Duozier had played, gotten some legs under him, and we knew, kind of had a good feeling about his status for Arkansas. We have no idea. And so from an offensive standpoint, let's be real. Sutton Smith's been great. Brendan Lewis has done what you've asked, but not having him or not having him at 100%, even if it's, you know, and he's been listed as day-to-day, but we don't know. We're unclear on whether or not he's even got a chance to return here.
Exactly.
And not having him, another weapon you need for an offense that at times we've seen it bogged down.
Yep.
We knew going into the season you weren't going to be prolific in terms of the pass game. Yeah, you know, and you showed it in that second half against Troy. You showed it again. And so I'd feel better at it. That said, Memphis' defense looked great, albeit against a backup quarterback. Here's the thing. I mean, you're about to see a guy who, you know, just threw for, what, 300, ran for 100 on Ole Miss's defense.
Yep.
So while I feel good about the effort that, you know, 112 yards, whatever it was that you held Troy to, the big step up, and weirdly, I think I feel better about them right now, that side of the ball. They had 8 tackles for loss. They've continued to force Troy. I think I feel better about them than I do the offense right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Whereas I thought going into that game, obviously, it'd be the other way around.
Yep.
And a lot of that is, again, the status of Duozier. Because you've done what you're supposed to do for the most part. Haven't you covered in all of these games?
Yeah, 3-0 against the spread.
3-0 against the spread, which has never been a trait of Ryan Silverfield's
team. That
is correct. So you've taken care of that
business as well. That's a fair thing
to point
out.
Has it been as pretty or as prolific or as explosive as we wanted it to be? Now, but listen, you've done what you needed to do. You've got a defense that seems to be coming together. Tall task, stopping an Arkansas offense that was super impressive against Ole Miss. Came up short.
Most definitely.
But, yeah, it's all there in front of you, you know. It's unfortunate that you don't get an unbeaten Arkansas team that you'd have a chance to maybe really make some noise in terms of your non-conference win. But this would be a quality win with the way they came up short against Ole Miss. I mean, that was it. They could have won that ball game.
Definitely.
You could argue, should have won the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is
Ole Miss's backup was killing them. That shows you. See, I would feel a lot better about Memphis' offense. You had DeWozier against that Arkansas defense?
Yeah.
We said that's the question mark, is them. But it's not like you got some offense that's...
I'm not expecting DeWozier, just as a default, I'm not really expecting him. Because it just doesn't feel like there's been any progress. It doesn't really feel like he's, you know... Now, we don't get much from Silverfield on that, but...
Well, I just agree with your man Frank Bonner, covers him for the Daily Memphian, that to throw him out there without any sort of, you know, run against Troy beforehand. It's a tough ask, but he's been listed as day-to-day since being out in that first game. Perhaps, you know, perhaps that's been the plan, is to get him ready for that physically, and perhaps he's close. That would be some great news for Memphis this week if he can go against an Arkansas defense that's clearly, you know, it's open for business in terms of come on and get these points.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, I would say this. The good thing for Memphis is that they are familiar with Halen Green. They played him.
2 years ago.
They scouted for him 2 years ago, and he's a much better player today than he was then.
By far.
I think it's a tough ask, right? It's a tough ask for Memphis to beat an SEC team. That's just the reality. Whether it's here, whether it's there, it's going to take a perfect game. You know, just because you're at a talent disadvantage. I mean, I'm not really surprised that this number has gone out further away from Memphis as opposed to toward them. Taylen Green has looked amazing. I mean, they've looked prolific, right? I mean, that's like my worry about this game is that Memphis is just not going to be able to keep up offensively. I think Memphis' defense is solid. I don't think it's bad.
I think you draw it up well right there. But that's the concern,
like,
keeping up.
Has Memphis shown us really? I mean, I know they've covered. I know, you know, and it kind of seems crazy, but. You know, I would have loved to have seen Memphis roll up 600 yards of offense on Troy. You know, like, keep the foot on the gas, man. You know, the idea that you outgained them, you know, whatever it was, 400 to 112, and it was still a, you know, basically it could have been a one-score game there before Memphis got the insurance touchdown. I just, again, it's an approach. It's, you know, because there were 2 fourth and shorts in Troy territory where Silverfield decided to punt because – You know, and I get it. Like, he knew that Kilcrease was an absolute abomination into the sport of football.
Oof.
And there was just no way that Memphis
was got 70 some of those yards in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I mean, it was literally that.
Oh,
bad
it was yes.
Going into that.
No question.
Those
man.
junk.
And then he went for it on one. So, you know, again, this is picking nits, and I definitely like recognize that, but just as I look at this game and as I, you know, cuz I think there have been past games where it would be the other way around. Like, I think Memphis football can keep up offensively, but the defense is gonna break. I think in this case, I worry far more about Memphis' ability because if they can't establish that run, Jason, it's a huge concern.
And I'm glad you went there because if you look at the numbers, you say, okay, well, Arkansas' defense gave up 481 yards, but it was only 3.3 per rush to Ole Miss. They ran the ball 38 times, the Rebels did, and averaged just 3.3.
Yep.
So if it's that tough to run against Arkansas, that's Memphis' bread and butter now. If you've just got Sutton Smith and Brendan Lewis as your main running threats with no DeWozier, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep up? How do you keep moving the ball down? How do you keep the ball out of Arkansas's hands? Because offensively, letting Green on the field is the – I mean, that's where you run the greatest risk.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, your best defense would be keeping him off the field, long, sustained drives.
Yep.
Do you have enough to do that if you don't have DeWozier? That's the concern.
Yep.
That said, check the box, man. We said they had to be 3-0 for this opportunity. You know, you're right here. And we've seen crazier things before. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about in college sports? So this isn't some juggernaut Arkansas team. It's not Florida either. They're a hot mess.
Right.
And this offense is for real. This Arkansas offense with Taylen Green, it's humming.
It is. But with that being said, I mean, one place you might be able to look and you might be able to say this is this dude that started for Ole Miss over the weekend,
He's the backup.
He was a D2 guy.
But you still couldn't run the ball on. That's the part that scares me.
But I'm just saying, like, maybe Brendan Lewis can have a day. Like, maybe.
I'm with you.
Because this guy's coming over. He came
now, he was throwing that thing.
No, he was. I mean, he.
Chambliss?
No, I mean, people were talking about, you know, he's definitely. There's not a big difference between him and Simmons. But still.
It's crazy.
It's got to give you.
This dude from where?
Ferris State.
And he comes in just rolling.
It's got to give you. Now, again, that's Lane Kiffin, and everybody that plays quarterback for Lane Kiffin ends up putting up numbers. But I'm just saying, like, it's got to give you some hope that, you know, this backup from Ferris State can have 353 yards, right? Like, there's just, you know, I mean, that's kind of what the game plan would be for Brendan Lewis, right? You'd love 353 yards, but he was also their leading rusher, Chambliss was. So.
No, he had just as good a game as Green did.
Yeah.
Problem was, he's the backup.
That's right. So I mean that you could sort of frame it that it's all about how you choose to sort of look at, you know, how the prism you want to look through. I think Memphis would do well to cover in this game. Expecting an outright win, I think, is a bit much. I know it's here, and that's a big factor, and Ryan Silverfield doesn't lose games here.
Well, you're gonna need to create pressure on Green and force him to make mistakes.
I mean, Russo though. Mm. Man. What a get that was by Ryan Silverfield.
So I'm saying that's one thing. I mean, tackles for loss or and creating turnovers, that's one thing that Jordan Hankins' defense, they've done. But we've talked about level of opponent. And each week you've leveled up, but you haven't seen anything the level of Arkansas's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a legit SEC offense, you know, the type of one of the better ones we've seen,
most definitely.
I would say. Even LSU looked terrible.
Yeah.
In terms of, and they're supposed to be one of the better teams in the SEC. That one's legit. So even, yes. You know, you've got a defense that's come together, but doing it against this one's going to be a tall order.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the total?
62.5, mm-hmm. which is about what the total was for the Ole Miss game. I mean, it's just like if you're just like you partner with the Arkansas, like, you know, it's just going to be a high scoring game, bro. Like, you're going to be in the 40s and 30s and 30s and low 40s.
So. What they were able to do against Ole Miss's run game, and I ain't telling you Ole Miss got some dominant, but that part, you know, concerns me, because that's what we do.
Yep.
You know, that's the foundation.
Absolutely. So look, it's I know we say this sort of all the time, but it is a free swing for the Memphis Tigers. Like, you know, you get Arkansas coming in here, you win and you're going to be, you know, right there with South Florida.
Well, when you do that, the great thing is that you're winning on ABC. ABC still picked you up even with the Arkansas loss.
Yep.
And said, you know, we're going to give you this platform. They'll go do it. And listen, while they won't be ranked, this Arkansas team would have been should you won that game, but won't be ranked. I still think you get this win at home on ABC and it puts you in that conversation because nationally nobody's got Memphis in there right now.
Right.
Because you haven't done anything out of conference.
Yep.
You know, to have you in the South Florida Tulane conversation. Even with the South Florida loss we already talked about, they've done their work.
Mm-hmm.
But you beat Arkansas on ABC, beat this SEC team at home. And you'll be in the conversation now.
Right.
And again, then just go on and win the American.
Yep.
And the conversation gets a lot more serious.
Absolutely. So free swing for the University of Memphis on Saturday. It's going to be on, you know, national television. And after that, you know, then it becomes about the league, right? And mm-hmm. and putting yourself in position to win the league. But it'll be a fun one, man.
You mentioned Russo, three of the tackles for loss of the eight for the team.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just... lived
Everett,
in that backfield.
Everett.
Yeah, from UAB, I believe. He's the transfer that got Dilfer in his feelings. But I don't remember exactly what he said, but got him in his feelings.
About taking the player. I mean, yeah. We don't have enough money, basically.
Yeah, and he said teams are paying our starters to come there and sit on the bench. Now, not him, but, you know, he was definitely feeling some type of way about that. So, anyway, nice win for Memphis. You know, certainly defensively, performance is where you would, you know, give the plaudits. But now it's on to Arkansas. Now, elsewhere around college football, how about them? Do we have the Georgia fights on over there? I don't want to offend.
Mm.
I don't want to offend anybody.
That's tough. Tennessee outplayed them. La Wisha won that game. That's tough to play their song. That'd be off. That'd be rubbing it in. But that's you, isn't it?
Want to congratulate Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs for an incredible victory on the road in Knoxville. Don't take those for granted. Don't take those road wins in the SEC for granted. Look, Joey Aguilar, great performance, no doubt about that, man. You have to give him
fantastic.
Tip of the cap. But I think we have to have a bigger tip of the cap to Gunnar Stockton.
You should. All of you guys doubted him going into this game.
Because he did win.
And went for over 300 yards.
What a fantastic football game that was, though.
It really was.
I mean, that was as good as it gets. Georgia 44, Tennessee 41, final, overtime. I mean, look, I think there's two parts to this. One is you leave the door open for Kirby Smart just an inch. Just an inch. It's too much.
Tough spot to be for Max Gilbert.
Absolutely.
Missing that. It's 43 yards.
Oh, buddy.
I mean, imagine what that place would have looked like.
Oh, no, it would have been insane. I just feel bad for that guy that was out in North Carolina watering his plants. He got hit in the head with a football, man, in Charlotte. He was just watering his plants. He go, God, dog, what was that, man?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the errant kick from Max Gilbert that went right to North Carolina, man. That thing was so far right, bro.
Wizard.
I mean, you knew from the minute that thing left his foot, no chance.
I didn't think he was going to make the one he did in OT.
Right.
Because it was 42, and the way he'd missed the one in regulation.
Yeah, that was, again, he's from Memphis. I feel bad for him. I'm not trying to rub it in.
This is a Memphian. I felt awful for him.
It's a low moment, no question about it. He'll be fine. It's tough to make those kicks against Georgia, man. There's a psychological block. I mean, Josh Heupel cannot beat Kirby Smart.
Well, there's no two ways around it. He let them down with that miss. I mean, they had earned it.
He did.
They had outplayed Georgia in so many facets of that game.
He did.
And that's his job.
It's just his job.
And you weren't asking for a 50-something yarder.
No, but I will say this. That coaching staff needs to take some accountability for that as well. Because the way they handled the end of that game.
The end of it, yeah.
Because, you know, you get the false start there. You know, what are you doing, man? You're running a play with 7 seconds. Only bad things can happen, which is like a fumbled snap, a hold, a false start, which all have. And, like, what are you doing? You're trying to take off 3 seconds? The game is over, man. It's 7 seconds. You hike the ball from the 20-yard line. That probably takes 1 second to get from, you know, holder, you know, center to holder. The kick's probably going to take 3 seconds to get there. You know, in college, they let that thing tick anyway. So you're talking about maybe 1 second, 1 second left. And I'm not saying that the kick would have been good from 37, but you're just giving this kid, the sophomore, more time to think about it. Now you've committed the penalty. It was just so stupid what they were doing from a coaching perspective, I thought.
It wasted an unbelievable performance from Aguilar.
His
story this year has been. Again, if they win this game, he is one of the stories of college football. 371, 4 touchdowns, ran for a touchdown against Georgia. I mean, come on, like
absolutely,
it was all set up.
Yeah,
and you did in a way you sort of iced your kicker.
You did
with the way you handled 100%. The end. So I'm in agreement with you.
And then you cost him 5 yards.
That
I mean,
said, they I hesitate to just kill Heupel here because you know it's still Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and. You had outplayed them in every other area of that game.
I mean, I agree.
Yes, you blew it at the end. You should have gotten closer for your kicker. You blew it there with the way you.
No,
you,
I mean Georgia definitely out, stole that game. I mean
Georgia stole it.
I mean,
and so a lot of it has to be credit to Georgia. Dude, I thought when they came back the first time, Tennessee was going to lay down, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the road. You talk about how hard these are to get.
Yeah,
and Georgia had all the responses, man.
Well, they did, and that fourth down play was
Gunnar Stockton,
so sick, yeah.
A man who was doubted.
Yes.
Even through this season, going yes. into this game, comes through for you
most
in
definitely.
A way that you, even if you were, you know,
yeah.
didn't have a rooting interest, you had to feel good for that kid.
Absolutely.
In terms of that response in that kind of game.
No question. I was,
He's over 300.
I was watching this game, the end of this game at the Skybox, and I happened to be sitting in front of a table of Tennessee fans, and I'm not talking about just your standard issue Tennessee. I'm talking about the Tennessee fans that have like the overalls on, you know what I'm saying? And I just found myself thinking, How does it feel, man, when you go home and you got to take the overalls off after a loss, man? You know, like you got to like take them off the shoulders, you know, and you got to pull them down. And
they're fine. Their season's not over. This is I knew this was coming.
I mean, it's just got to be a very humbling experience to take off the overalls after an L.
He was 14 of 14 at one for 213 yards, two TDs to start that game. Aguilar.
It was perfect. Well, here, I mean,
he's the first SEC quarterback to go 14 of 14 in 20 seasons.
Yeah.
What he has done for the upgrade.
No, he's been fantastic.
Upgrade is no longer the word. Like, this guy has come in. He's taken a Heupel's offense. He's throwing deeper than.
Yes.
I can't even say his name.
Iamaliava, who lost his coach over the weekend, Deshaun Foster. Thank you for your service.
He just transferred to irrelevancy.
He has.
And less money.
And took a pay cut. And he's got to live in California where it's higher cost of living, bro. So, I mean, it's just really a devastating decision for him. Look, you want me to say nice things about Tennessee?
So that's what I'm saying. Tennessee fans are going to get down about you talking about taking her over, like their season's over.
They're a playoff team. I mean, that's the beauty of it, right?
That's what they look like.
But are they one of those teams, you know? Are they a top five team? They are not a top five team. You know, at home, you got to get that done. You got to win that game. And they didn't.
Many thought step back for them having to bring in Aguilar.
No, definitely right? Not that.
With the way Nico did them.
Definitely not that.
And it's not been that. So in many ways, still, even though they blew that game and the chance to win, still success.
And who
was
this receiver for them, bro? I mean, is he like the next Peerless Price? Yeah. I mean, this dude looked like an NFL guy out
there.
I don't
have his numbers.
Rizal. He had six catches, 177 yards, three
touchdowns.
I knew
it was close to, it felt like 200.
I mean, this dude was, he was wreaking havoc on Georgia's secondary. I mean, good grief. No, I mean, I'm having fun with it. I bet Georgia when they were down 38-30, that was a fun night. But
I was wrong about this one because I said Georgia would show them a different weight class. But I was right about Miami, South Florida. I said that would be
a different class. That is very true. That was a beat down for the ages. That was a come back down to life, back to reality game for South Florida. They're still good, you know, but they ain't as good as we probably thought.
Miami's just a different level.
Yeah. Well, that South Florida's still good enough to represent. Maybe it's about Miami.
I think it is. That's what they showed you. That's what I was saying. Going, you know, having, and I know Notre Dame's 0-2,
right.
But that's still what Miami's done.
Yeah.
That looks like a national title contender now.
For sure.
They got Carson Beck, man.
Yep.
Who's back, you know, and in terms of, you know, stock up, everything else. That team's legit. It still puts South Florida should not have dropped from the rankings for a loss at Miami. Are you with me?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You have two wins over nationally ranked teams.
I think it hurts that Florida sucks, though. That's probably taking a hold of their resume.
It does.
Because they look bad.
You beat Boise when they came into the year ranked, had all the preseason expectations of making the group of making the college football playoff, and they knocked them off. That's a different level
right. For
Miami. For South Florida, it's all still there because you come out of that game, it looks like healthy. That's the key for them. But it still represents opportunity for Memphis. You get this opportunity to get South Florida here. You take care of, hey, you upset Arkansas?
Yep.
You're all the way in the conversation, and everybody's talking about you.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, man. That was just a beatdown from start to finish. There.
Different level.
Miami can win it all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some of us expected it. Some of us thought that about that Miami team. That South Florida's still good.
Yes, but it's levels to it.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, what's Miami's national championship odds?
And there's levels to it. Apply that to LSU because I don't know if they meet the level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you see Brian Kelly go off.
Now, am I the only person that actually kind of feels him on that?
Just the way the first question was framed. The reporter clearly he knows Kelly's combative, and he was ready for it. That's why he asked the question the way he did.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly felt him. I was like, they won, they covered, they beat an SEC team by double digits, and the first thing you want to come in here and ask is why, you know, I don't remember what the question was, something about the run game maybe or something. You know, it's like, come on, bro. Now, I wouldn't have, like, gone in as long as he did. I'm like, all right, I mean, make your point and move on, dude. But because he was like, you know what?
One run!
You guys are spoiled. You guys are so spoiled. You know, I wouldn't have gone and done all that. But, you know, I kind of felt like, first question, man. How about first question be like, you know, coach, you know, another win over Florida. You know, don't take those for granted. You know, how does it feel being the greatest coach in college football? You know, that's how I would have started.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees that reporter seemed to have an agenda and probably, again, has done – him and Brian probably have a relationship that's become combative.
yeah.
with the questions that he asked.
I did, and he was there for it. I did
the reporter was there for it and didn't care about
You
know, giving you that first, hey, found a way to win, right?
That's right, that's right.
You know?
No, because like it's a boring question, right? It's like, you know, hey, what does it say about this team that you find ways to win? You know, that nobody wants to do that.
But it gives Brian Kelly his you know, undefeated Brian Kelly his chance to that off. And then you get into that. I agree. You can approach it that way.
Yeah.
And I think the usually objective reporter would have.
Right.
This one, you know, was after it.
No, he was. He was. But I mean, again, LSU is going to be there. I mean, I don't know if I'm a huge believer, like you were saying. You know, I'm just kind of pulling them. I mean, Georgia, you have to, I feel like, maybe look at Georgia a little differently now because they were able to do that on the road.
Yeah, I don't think you had to blow them away necessarily to still come away impressed with them. I thought they would blow Tennessee away, show them different level. They didn't do that, but Gunnar Stockton showed you.
Right.
He can do it. Also rushed for one, by the way, for him.
Yes, he did.
He showed you he can do it in the big ones when you can pull off that level of victory on the road. Again, Tennessee opened the door by missing the field goal.
Yes.
Because he should have won that ball game.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to get these damn – I'm trying to find this damn Miami. Because, I mean, that's a team that, like, it doesn't feel like a ton of people are talking about.
No, but you need to because of Carson Beck.
Yeah. I'll figure it out, man. I'll find it at some point. All right, here we go. Finally. Miami is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th in odds at Kalshi. 7%. Ohio State's the favorite. You got Oregon, Penn State. Texas, Georgia, LSU are kind of the teams.
I believe in Oregon and Penn State when they win something big.
Mm-hmm. You know what people are saying is Alabama. You run them off too early. Not you, but we.
They were physically handled. It was easy to do. Physically handled by Florida State, so it was easy to do. But they do now are appearing to look like the team we thought they would be going into the season that would have a chance to win the SEC.
You know, they're kind of just quietly handling business now.
You know, like, who doesn't look like that is Texas.
That's exactly right. No, I don't understand the Texas love.
He's thrown an interception in every game.
He has.
I mean, that thing has fallen all the way off.
Yeah, it's not been great. Only winning by 17 against UTEP.
And I'd ask you, is that more on Arch? Or is that always what he was and this is on Sarkisian?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I'm a little nervous that maybe we crown Arch too soon.
You think?
Because he just... He just hasn't looked great. He just has not looked great. Now, again.
It's not you. It's really, Feinbaum was the one that grabbed it.
Ohio State had the lowest win probability of any team in week one. I just want to say that again. Now, that wasn't because of a great game from Arch. It was more about Texas's defense and running game. But, you know, if they're 3-0 right now instead of 2-1, are we thinking about Texas maybe a little differently? You know, maybe. I don't know. October 11th. Great opportunity now for Texas because Oklahoma comes in and it'll be a Heisman battle, right? Mateer and Manning. I don't think Arch is in that conversation anymore. But
the Texas A&M win real quick over Notre Dame. That more about Texas A&M and folks overlooking them, or more about Notre Dame, who's now 0-2 under Freeman?
I'm gonna say A&M. I'm gonna say A&M because you know Notre Dame is just like I think we know kind of what they are under Freeman. Like they're a very respectable outfit. They're a good team. They have a high floor. Disappointing loss for sure because it's at your place, you know. And I think anytime you lose as a 6.5-point favorite at home, it's disappointing. But I think that's more about Elko maybe finally getting some things going down there in College Station.
They're up 6 spots to 10.
Yeah,
I think I would agree. I mean, look legit.
I don't You know, maybe, you know, Texas A&M is a team that can make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, their quarterback's been there for a couple of years now. And so, you know, maybe they're one that can sneak up on you in the playoff.
Ole Miss, after that win over Arkansas, up 4 spots to 13. Mentioned Texas A&M's up 6 spots to 10. Texas still holding on at 8. Florida State 7. Oregon 6. Georgia's 5.
Dude, Florida State went from not ranked to 7th in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's insane. How could we have been so wrong about them?
1, 2, 3.
Why is it just because we don't believe in Mike Norvell as a conglomerate?
We didn't know they would be this physical, and we didn't know the Gus Bus stuff would work this well.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, really, it goes back to the opener. What they did was Alabama was just eyes. Whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it to look like that. And
so,
especially coming off the miserable year that he had last year, and they have bounced back in a way. Yes, we did not expect.
By the way, getting some tweets. Drew asks, would you not rather just take the L this weekend and have everybody ready for conference play? The American should be the 5th best conference, and therefore, if you win it, you're in. I would rather have the conference championship than a win over Arkansas.
Why do I have to pick?
Yeah, I mean, I would say to Drew, like, you don't necessarily...
If,
you don't guarantee your, it, you know.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Have nothing to do with, you can win. You can win against Arkansas and actually still not make the playoff.
If you're telling me you're giving me that in a scenario right. where I can right. take one or the other, absolutely. But
it's a false equivalency,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely.
Like you know, you don't get, if you tank the game against Arkansas, it's not going to guarantee you a conference championship.
Right.
You know, and even if you beat Arkansas, it doesn't guarantee you a conference championship.
No.
You know, because you still got to beat South Florida. You still got Tulane beat Duke over the weekend.
Right, and has Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Has Ole Miss.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be in a good spot if they do that. I mean, I don't know that they will. I mean, they're going to be, I'm assuming
well,
they're
who
pretty
do they
good,
get at quarterback for Ole Miss?
That's a good question.
Because isn't that what threw off the Arkansas a little bit?
There's no doubt.
He was expected to come back, the starter.
There's
was
no
expected
doubt.
To be
yep.
there.
Because he was off the injury
and Lane
report.
Was right, yeah.
And he actually ended up playing weirdly.
Threw a touchdown
threw
or
a touchdown, yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, Lane was playing games.
That's what I'm saying. Lane with that stuff.
Lane
with the injuries.
The though. Lane games.
And then old boy was cold, which I didn't expect. Shambles?
I don't think Lane keeps a bad quarterback. If you play for Ole Miss, you're hooping.
But doesn't it take a little while usually for him to get him up to a level?
Well,
like it did with Corral and all them dudes. And this is like a Division II dude, right?
Won the Natty last year for D2.
But he was there for like 4 years though.
Because
he's an experience. He wasn't just 1 year at Florida State.
It was like Bajent.
Exactly.
Really good.
You know, no question about it. Mississippi
wow.
State plays this weekend?
State plays this. They did play this weekend. They played Elkhorn, and that was a cupcake.
Okay,
they got another cupcake.
That was a very controversial game because they shortened the quarters in the second
10
half.
10-10, yeah. And both coaches agreed on it in the halftime.
And when that happens,
yep,
the all bets void.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool.
Well, it's not for the guy that had Mississippi State minus 21 from June, not me, but he was on Twitter. He was very upset about it that they agreed. I think you should not do that. I think you can.
Bro, if you were watching that game, it needed to end. It was not good.
Can you not do running clock in college?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, but
so
the rule is at halftime they readdress it, and if both coaches agree, it goes 10-10.
Biggest disappointment, Clemson?
Yes.
Losing to Georgia Tech?
Yeah. That was quite a that kicker did a good job on the other spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had to do a rush out. The one controversial thing on that one is that Dabo did not call timeout to ice him, so people were questioning that. I think either way, they had practiced it, so they were ready.
Yeah. I don't know what the situation is in Clemson. Because, this was the year where, you know, Dabo hit the portal.
They hit the portal.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
They should have lost to Troy. They were down 16-3 against Troy for that hellacious comeback.
Yeah.
Now they've lost to Georgia Tech as 3-point favorites.
I don't think South Florida should have been dropped from the poll because they lost at Miami, a top 10 team. But Clemson being out, yes, they've earned it. They dropped from 12 to out of the poll.
Yeah.
Do you guys think Notre Dame should
also
be in?
Also South Carolina.
You don't think Notre Dame?
No, of course not.
No.
I mean, I think South Florida should be 24 as opposed to Notre Dame being
that.
In there
right.
0-2, although I would tell you probably
yeah.
if you played certainly on a
yes.
neutral, Notre
right.
Dame would
right.
win that game.
No, I mean, right.
South Florida's earned it. They got two wins over ranked opponents at the time they played them.
You're right.
Don't care that Florida has, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. look as bad and Napier's mm-hmm. about to be fired. You win. Yeah, what are we talking about? I mean, you beat the in-state Power 4 team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you should get credit for that as opposed mm-hmm. to just dropped out because, you know, you lost to a Miami team most expected you to.
Right.
And it was one-sided. Truly.
That's right.
That's a national title.
Well,
contender.
I mean, we talked
at their
about
place.
This. How many weeks in a row is the market going to be wrong about South Florida, bro? Eventually, they were going to, you know, lose by a lot. I mean, they were 17.5-point underdogs 2 weeks in a row. Like, you're just not going to keep.
Mark was wrong about Florida. It was right about Miami.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. I mean, because it was identical spread.
So I keep pointing to.
You know, but that was about Florida underperforming and not being being a top 25 team in the country, right?
Bingo.
And you know, we never know until we know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like all you can do is say, I think this team is a, you know, with Lagway is a top 15 team. They look different, or I actually don't buy it. I don't believe the hype and whatever. But in this case, I mean, Miami's loaded, bro. They got the huge offensive line. Beck's throwing. What's my guy's name? Malachi, whatever it is. The young receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's sick.
I mean, they are a problem.
They are a problem.
Yeah, pro level.
I gotta get my guy's name, man, because it's not fair to
is that the
Malachi
dude made,
Toney.
Yeah, he made a one hander in that first week.
No, that was the tight end. Malachi Toney was the jitterbug that was just all over the field.
Yeah,
you know, Beck kept looking for him. He's like a freshman, and he's gonna be a pro. He's gonna be an absolute pro, no doubt about that. So anyway, that was a fun week of college football. Memphis wins, Georgia wins. Texas A&M wins, Ole Miss wins. So Lots of fun stuff from over the weekend. We'll come back. We got a doubleheader. We got a doubleheader in Monday Night Football tonight.
How about that?
Week two of NFL was a lot of fun, and I think that there's a stat that is going to blow your mind. I mean, if you're paying attention to the NFL, you know this.
It's about how high scoring a week it was.
It's not about high scoring a week. It's a specific team.
Okay.
It's a specific team. Now you know this because you pay attention to the NFL. But there's one stat about a certain quarterback and a certain offense that when you hear it, it's going to absolutely blow your mind. We'll talk about it when we get back. Jason and John, I'm trying to.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. What a weekend it was in the NFL. Chiefs, 0-2. First time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he has been 0-2. Two games under 500. Lose to the Super Bowl defending champs, Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Look, it was a nip-tuck game. It could have definitely gone either way. You know, obviously you'll focus on the, that pick from it was basically, I kind of almost count it more as like a fumble, really, because as opposed to an interception, because I mean, that's one that Kelsey's got to catch, man.
Has to.
I mean, it hits you exactly where it's supposed to hit you.
Yeah, and I don't care about the screaming faces on the sidelines afterwards just because you're a great. You got to, I mean, that looked like a guy who's got his mind elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your team's about to take the lead, dude.
Yep.
You have to be locked in right there. He's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer,
it looked
man.
Different
yeah.
than what we're used to from Travis Kelce, especially in that moment.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, it was not a pretty game for the Eagles' offense by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no.
But they won, and they are 2-0. And they are now 3-0 against the Chiefs since losing to them in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
How about that? How about that? They just kind of have the Chiefs' number now. Yeah, Jalen Hurts had 101 yards. Like, he didn't play well. But again, like, that's a team that's happy to just do enough. And defensively, like, with everybody they have, like.
it's what championship teams do, and it's what KC has done in the past.
Absolutely.
So right.
They did all
and,
year
and,
last
and
year.
And Philly has shown now it's yep. reached that level that we had sort of that perch we had put KC on.
Yep.
When we'd seen years where KC's defense is carrying it, right, because of what KC's lack of receiver, whatever else, injuries, we've seen it. They come into that. We're still probably – we've got KC there, but Philly has obviously shown itself
yep.
to that capability now. And that's what that win – again, you go to Arrowhead
mm-hmm.
in a situation – Patrick Mahomes never been 0-2. So and they've got a chance to take the lead on you right there if Kelce catches that ball. You find a way to win that game. That's what championship teams do. If I'm Sirianni, I'm beaming because now, you know, Jalen Carter's back. We got the win over the Chiefs, and that's what they do. They just find ways. That's what you know. That's what the elite do. It doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
Nor do they care about it being pretty.
No, nope. They don't care because they're just going to keep winning. And again, like Devontae Smith comes up with that big catch at the end of the game. It really kind of helped put it away. So, yeah, it was a it was a very very. I mean, that team does not lose in Arrowhead. Like, and they never lose. Saying. You know, they never lose games where they're two games under 500. So that was like, you know, that was like in many ways the Chiefs Super Bowl, right?
Mahomes has never been two games under 500. He's never been 0-2. Two games under 500 has to go back to college for him.
Right.
And yet, something I thought, it was ugly in terms of offensively for the Eagles. They get the win there. You go into Arrowhead. I thought that's impressive enough to cement your claim, at least for now, that you are the best in the NFC. But I looked over it, and it was something that was talked about this morning over at ESPN Bet. They've got the Packers plus 300, Eagles plus 350.
Oh, my goodness.
There has still been a shift that the Packers, at least in the eyes of Vegas, are the favorites.
Right.
Again, I say you go into KC, I don't care what it looks like, that's an impressive win. You know, you beat Dallas to open it up, should still be there. But what Green Bay's done is impressive. I still would roll with Philly up top.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you there. Packers feel like the new shiny thing.
Detroit's at plus 800 now, third, having sort of
yeah, I mean, I think that was just a
tell you what, it's against a bad Bears team.
Yeah, and that was like peak motivation, right? Like, you know, Ben Johnson got the credit for everything. Let's make sure he knows and the world knows it wasn't a Ben Johnson production here.
Oh, it was so easy for Dan Campbell. And I felt good for him even in getting beat down afterwards because it's what he said. He said, they forgot it. They forgot who we were.
No doubt about it, man.
You know, just assumed that our identity went out the window with all of our coordinators.
No doubt.
You know, getting head coaching jobs. And you had to, as a leader of men, and could see, you know, those guys obviously jumping on all that. Like you said, it's, you know, it was probably always it shouldn't have been that one side and that Bears defense. My gosh, they were supposed to be a decent defense.
Yeah, that was sometimes it's just kind of sometimes it's just like that, right? Like you just kind of run into it.
But Goff was determined for a bounce back game after the first week. Everybody,
the Bears ran into it.
It wasn't just Ben Johnson's coming back. It was Detroit got written off after week one, and so it was perfect storm for them.
It was a scheduled
tip of the
loss
cap,
for
though,
the Bears, man.
Because that dude is a great head coach.
He is.
We can say, well, he's not the X's and O's guy. He's a different kind, but he's a culture kind. We've talked. We compared him to Tomlin.
Yep.
And they're high level, man. I mean, who else in the NFC would you put above him in terms of third? Right now,
I don't think I'd put anybody above them right now. Right. I'm just saying I don't because I can't put San Francisco in front of them because they're banged up.
That's it. I don't care who it is that you beat in the NFL. You do that with a backup quarterback and without Kittle. That's impressive.
It is. Like it is. And they were in control for the majority of the game. I mean, and it's, you know, yeah, like you said, on the road. I mean,
bro,
that's a Shanahan production right there, right?
Yeah, like that's a culture win.
Yes,
got to hand it to him. Even though he's supposed to be he's supposed to be more X's and O's, but that's a culture win for them.
Yeah,
but you're right. I would not put them above Detroit.
Right, right.
And don't believe. I know we're not leaving out Minnesota now after what I saw yesterday.
I would just say maybe we need to start taking the Rams a little more seriously.
Probably. I think they're fourth. They're eighth. I don't have it in front of me. They're fourth.
I might make an argument for the Rams ahead of Detroit. I might make the argument because I just think Stafford and Adams and Nacua and like that offense, they got dogs on defense. I mean, you know, Tennessee thought they were winning at the half.
Oh, I definitely like the Rams defense better than Detroit's.
Yeah. And then the Rams said, no more games. Yeah. And just, it blew them out in the second half. So, I think I might, you know, take the Rams, but I don't have a huge problem. I mean, it's, you know, nobody from the NFC South. I don't want anybody out of there.
No.
So
okay, on the same page there, AFC, and you did have a shakeup. Potentially, we should hit the Burrow news. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, they're even though they're 2-0, I mean, they don't have Burrow. He's gone for the next 3 months
minimum.
Yeah, he's done for the season. It feels like there's just no way they're going to be competitive enough for the next 3 months to where it makes sense to bring him back.
Looked like he got hurt on sack.
Yep.
How can they justify? The reckless way that they've gone about, you know, trying to protect him. They haven't.
Well, they paid the receivers. And because Burrow wanted them to pay the receivers.
Well, maybe that's as much on Burrow as it is them.
Yeah.
But again, you're paying the money. You should know better. Of course, Burrow's going to say, I want my weapons.
Right.
You got to protect this guy.
No doubt.
Who cares? If you give him one good receiver, he's probably going to be good enough. Use some of that Higgins money and get you a line for this dude. He's been hit the most of any quarterback, I think, over the spans that he's been in the NFL.
Yeah, no, he has.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, people were saying on Twitter yesterday that he should sue the organization for, you know, the way they've treated him.
Shout out to Browning for the getting the win for them, but that their season is done.
That was a hell of a win, and a embarrassing loss for the Jags.
Yeah,
I mean that's NFL betting, right? I had a good day yesterday, but
congrats.
I considered Jags plus 3.5, If I had bet 3.5 with the Jags, Burrow leaves in the second quarter, and I still lose the bet, man, I would have really been upset. I would really, you know, I would have had to put my Limp Bizkits on and break stuff. Pretty diabolical beat there to lose to a backup for the Jags, especially because they were winning the whole damn game.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's life in the NFL, even the backups, when you have freaking Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So, you know, you got a pretty good setup, man. You're never going to be out of it. But I just don't think, you know, I don't think over the course of a season
no,
they'll be able to maintain. So, again, my power ratings in the NFL, in the AFC, remain unchanged for the most part.
Unchanged.
Maybe we do have to downgrade the Broncos a little bit.
I think so. Clearly.
But I've got Bills 1. I've got Chargers 2. I've got Ravens 3.
Disrespect Lamar.
I've got, I mean, who is my 4 now? Am I going to have to put the Indianapolis Colts at 4? I mean, the Chiefs are 2. I mean, they're 0-2, man. How can I, with a straight face, put the Chiefs 4?
I would still have the 0-2 Chiefs above the Colts, although what Daniel and the team have done, super impressive.
It's
they should have lost yesterday.
Right. So you would put the 0-2 Chiefs penalty above the 2-0 Colts in your power rings.
It's not Notre Dame. This is still the Chiefs.
Yeah.
0-2 for the first time ever with Mahomes. The receiver situation will get better.
Yeah. Well, they'll win this weekend, and then they play the Ravens at home.
And will Kelsey be that bad again? After costing his team the victory.
I think his best days are way behind him. I mean,
I think he's focused on Taylor.
Well,
he's focused on the wrong things now.
Well, because he's at the end of his career, bro. He's got to be the last year.
What's Taylor doing?
Well, I think he's...
That's the priority.
Yeah. I mean...
Was she there?
Yes.
That was crazy. They brought a screen.
Yeah.
Did you see this, John?
I did. I saw it. Like,
tell him. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, I didn't see that part.
I just kind of whisked over the tweet. Like, it was like something about the way they escorted her in and
so,
out.
So, she doesn't walk into the stadium now. They have a portable wheelie screen that walks her, so you can't see her walking into Arrowhead. Walk behind black screen, you roll it so that nobody could see her, and then she goes in the elevator and goes up.
It's like I Show Speed. You can't have any sponsors or anything around her. It's too big.
Too big.
She'd be selling it.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to be with the normal common person. You know, Brad Carson ain't walking in next to Taylor Swift.
He used to be good in her presence. We had those stats.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.